And he speaks to this, like this desire to like look out into your life and figure out the things that you want and realize that those things that we pursue always leave us empty. But then he comes to this idea of, now I know what I want to look more like. I don't want to be famous. I don't want to stand out in a crowd necessarily. I want to look a little more like love. And so that's our focus this morning. So let's pray, and then we're going to dive into God's word and hear what he has to say for us this morning. So would you bow your heads with me? Father God, I thank you for today. Father, I thank you that you've given us so many incredible things that we can do together and on our own that remind us of who you are and what you've done. And thank you for your word, Father. And as we open it, Father, I pray that we would experience something this morning that would move us to show love in a way that you have shown it to us. And as we look at these things that are not displayed because of us, but because of what your Spirit is doing in and through us, Father, I pray that we would recognize them and we would just take our hands off the rein and let your Spirit run our lives so that these things can be displayed in just even greater ways. And so, God, I pray this morning that we would look more like love. And I pray that our picture, that our example would not be anyone else but Jesus. We thank you for this morning, Father. We thank you for these moments that we get to share together. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So our volunteers are passing around the giving bags. If you have something, go ahead and toss it in there. The other thing, too, is if you have those little plastic cups and they're there, you can pass those to the center. We're going to have an usher come forward to collect all those. So just go ahead and pass those to the center. And after you do, I would encourage you, I would love to invite you, if you have a Bible this morning, and I hope that you do, to open up to the book of Galatians. We are going to go to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22 through 25. And so we wrapped up our series on community last week. And so now we are on a 9-week journey that we're going to be taking together through this series called Picked Fresh, where we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit that comes from Galatians chapter 5 that Paul is writing to us about this morning so that we can engage it, so that we can know it, so that we don't become conceited in it, but we realize that the Spirit is, in fact, working in and through our lives. And so go ahead and focus your attention to Galatians chapter 5. It's on the screens. If you don't have a Bible, I would encourage you to look off a neighbor if you can't see the screens. But this is what Paul is saying in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." And so we are going to be reading that piece of Scripture every week for the next 9 weeks so that we can identify, so that we can look at, and so that we can know what the fruit of the Spirit is in our lives. And so one of the first things I just want to real quick give you a quick recap on the fruit of the Spirit. And so this is something... It's the fruit of the Spirit. It is not the fruits of the Spirit, because these are all the things that we get. When we have a relationship with Jesus, when we ask Jesus to be the leader of our lives and the forgiver of our sins, we receive the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us as the greatest helper we could ever need. And through us, the Spirit displays these attributes, this fruit in our lives. And so it is the fruit of the Spirit because we get all of it. It's not like, man, I only received just love or just kindness. We receive all of them from the Spirit. And so that's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit, because it is a manifestation of what the Spirit is doing in us, but we get all of them. And so we're referring to it as the fruit. We are bearing fruit, in our lives because of what the Spirit is doing in us, and it manifests in these ways. And so one thing I don't want to confuse us with, for those of you who maybe have been into God's word a little bit more, and you go, well, hold on a second. I know that there's the fruit of the Spirit, and there's also the gifts of the Spirit. Those are different. The gifts of the Spirit may pick and choose specific ones and give those to us so that we can continue to further the gospel. Those might be knowledge or wisdom, healing, prophecy, or faith. But that is not something that we're all guaranteed or all given. That is Spirit decided and Spirit led. However, the fruit of the Spirit is something that we all get through and from the Spirit of Jesus. And so as we look, today we are going to focus on that first fruit that we sang about, that we engaged, and that is around the area of love, the fruit of love. And so I think as we see this, the fruit of the Spirit is love. We're going to focus on that today. And I think one of the things we have to identify is love can look like a lot of different things, but this is speaking to a very specific type of love. This is not a romantic love. This is not a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife type of love that is being displayed here. It is not a love for things. It's not a love for your favorite food or for your favorite video game or for your favorite team. It's not that kind of love. This love that Paul is writing is agape love, and it is unconditional love. Love that does not come with condition. It is, I will just love you. I will love you regardless of how you respond, how you treat, how you interact with me. The greatest earthly love that I can connect this to is a love that a parent has potentially for a child or a spouse, but a different than a romantic kind of love. It's the kind of love that says, I am going to continue to love you regardless of the situation. I mean, it's when you get home and you walk in and talk to mom and dad and you go, hey, mom and dad, I got in just a little bit of an accident. In a little bit of an accident, it's not bad. We're just going to need to replace the front bumper, but I've heard that that's pretty easy. And they're frustrated. They're upset with you. They're stressed out, but they still love you. And I think this displays itself also in small groups. You may come in and find as you are, if you decided to be a part of a small group, you come in and you find that your small group leaders, they just love you and they care for you because you are you. They just love you. And so the love that Paul is speaking here, there's a Greek word for it. It's called agape love. And that agape love is unconditional love. And outside of the world, our greatest example of this is God's love for his people. It's the love that Jesus displayed. Unconditional. While Jesus is hanging on a cross and dying, his response is still love for those who are putting him to death. He still has love for all people because all people put him on that cross because it's our sin that put him on that cross. And so the love that Jesus has for all people, that is the kind of love that is being displayed and talked about here. And so what we need to do is I want to go back into some other scripture so that we can better understand what this love looks like. And so if you have your Bible, if not, if you're like, hey, I really want to stay here, that's fine. We're going to flip over to John, the Gospel of John. And this is John 13, 34 and 35. And so Jesus lives his life. He's displaying for us how we are to live our lives. And as he's doing that, he's teaching his disciples and us, those who are following him, what it looks like to live a life that's pursuing God. And all we have to do is live the kind of life that Jesus lived. And so this topic of love comes up, and Jesus begins to teach, and he gives us a new commandment because there was confusion about the old law from the Old Testament, and there was, you know, what does it look like to pursue God, to go after him? And so, in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, this is what Jesus says. He says, a new commandment I give to you. Anytime you're in God's word and you see a new commandment I give to you, and if you have a Bible that Jesus, when Jesus spoke, that displays itself as red text. Like, this is important stuff. You need to listen always to God's word. But when you see that it's red or it's something that Jesus has said and spoken, that's when you go, okay, I really like, this is where I need to just go full focused attention. And then he gives you one more thing, a new commandment I give you. So like, ears are perked up, eyes are focused, like not twiddling your thumbs, you're really listening. Like, this is something that Jesus is telling us we need to do. So he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And so we look at that, and this as Jesus is speaking and as he's teaching, this is not, you know, notice he doesn't say, hey, love those who are easy to love. Love your bestie. Love the people who like your posts on Instagram. You know, love your parents when everything is going your way. Love your little siblings when they're in service to you. No. What Jesus is saying here, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And so we might go, well, what does that exactly look like? And so Jesus goes on further and he says, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And so we look at Jesus's life. And so here's the importance of getting into God's word on a consistent and regular basis. The more you do, the better you understand who Jesus is and what he has done and how he lived his life, so that you then know how you are called to live your life. Jesus is saying, look at me, I am the perfect model of this, so do what I have done. He goes, as I have loved you, I want you to go out into the world and I want you to love others in that way. I'm sure at this point the disciples are thinking through different times where Jesus, you know, they may have not met the expectations that Jesus set out for them. They realize and recognize sin in their lives. And they go, well, if he can love us unconditionally, that must be the love that we must display to others. And then I love verse 35. He says, by this, by the love that you give others, by this, all people. I mean, we talked about this a little bit in our last series, this all people. It wasn't just the church. It wasn't just family. It wasn't just friends. It was everyone. Everyone that you interact with, every single person that you come in contact with, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And so this is what Jesus calls us to do. But I think sometimes we get in this mode where we go, okay, yep, that's my mission. I'm, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is established in me, and this is going to live out. I need to love others. I'm going to do it. And we love others, and we're like on a good rhythm, and we're like, man, I went home, and I love my siblings, and I love my parents, and my friends came over, and I loved them. And then I went to Giant Eagle, and everybody I saw at Giant Eagle, I was loving them, and they felt it. But then this happened, and it was like, uh-oh. That girl or that guy who was bad-mouthing me on school or in social media, like I saw him at Giant Eagle. And I see them and I go, uh-oh, all of a sudden it is hard to love. Maybe you walk by and you know, you're hanging out with some friends. Maybe you go to the movies, and as you're walking, you see that player from the opposing team who just kept you from the win. Like, we're coming after you, and you're like, I don't like them. And so we know what the plan is, but sometimes it's hard to understand what it takes to actually do it. And so Jesus gives us this commandment to love others as he has loved us. He tells us when you do this, others will know, hey, here's the thing. You don't have to wear an I love Jesus shirt. You don't have to have scripture tattooed on your arms or on your body. You don't have to have, you know, Jesus loves me, a bumper sticker. You don't have to wear those things. But if you display love for all people, they will know, hey, they follow Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying. It's not the exterior. It's the manifestation of what's happening on the interior that comes out, that people go, wow, they have to know who Jesus really is. And not only do they know them, but they are intimately following him by the way that you love them. We find ourselves in a position where we go, okay, I get it. What does that look like? Well, Paul further explains what that looks like in his letter to the Romans, as he's talking about this love displayed from God through the Son for us. And so Romans chapter 5, verses 5 through 8 says this, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." And so here's the thing. We go, I cannot display that kind of love all the time. But what we learn from Romans chapter 5 is that the love that God has for us, this agape love, this unconditional love, it has been poured into us. Like, it exists inside of us. And we have it now, not on our own, not because of anything that we have done, but because what God has done. We now have this ability to love because God's love, the love that he displays for us, the love that Jesus has for us, has in fact been poured into our hearts. And I love it, through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so that's what this is. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It is not anything that we can do. Here's the thing. This is not a choice to love. This is not a choice to love others. This is what we experience when the Holy Spirit is working in and through our lives. The love that you display is not your own. It is, in fact, the love of the Spirit that is living through you because God has poured his love into us. And this is what it looks like. "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." For all of us, we are all ungodly. "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die." And this is it. This is the love that we must display. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still against God, while we were still living a sinful lifestyle against God, where we were doing everything we could to keep him from fulfilling his mission, Christ said, "Hey, even though I know that you will be the ones who ultimately put me on the cross because of the sin that you are carrying in your life, I love you so much that I will come and I will die for you." This is sacrifice. This love is sacrifice. It is putting yourself second and putting others first. Like, this agape love, it's unconditional. It is, that person is constantly mean to me. I do everything I can to be kind to them, and they just continue to come after me. And what is my response? I am going to continue to choose to love them. I am going to continue to allow the Spirit to work inside me so that as I live my life, Jesus shines through. His example becomes my lifestyle. Not because we choose it, but because the Spirit is prompting us and pushing us, and we go, "I don't want to." You've been there before. Those moments where you go, I know how I need to respond, but I don't want to. That is when the body, your body, and the Spirit is in conflict. But as we look at this, if God's love has been poured into us, which it has, because Scripture tells us that to be true, if that is in fact true, then when we go through our lives, when we interact with our friends and our families and our acquaintances and our schoolmates and our teammates and our lunch ladies and our teachers and our administrators and that team that's just nasty, they're dirty, they play, you know, they're dirty players, we still need to love them. And so our example doesn't come from anyone in this room. We don't point and say, "Love like her," or "Love like him," because there's none of us in here who can really love in this way. But what we can do is say, "Hey, love in the way that she loves, or love in the way that he loves," because of what Jesus is doing in and through their lives. And they are modeling Jesus. One of the things that I absolutely love, and it's not a more spiritual school or less spiritual, but one of the things that I observed. I have had the opportunity this season to coach 8th grade football. And one of the things is this last week we played Lake. And as the end, they whooped on us. And the thing that I saw is I saw love in those guys for us. Most of them don't even know us. But as we're going through, I experienced love from those guys. They're going, hey, great job. Good luck this season. Hey, way to work hard today. And love was pouring out of them at the end of a game. And here's the thing. I don't know how many of those players have a relationship with Jesus, but I know some of them do. I know some of them personally. Here's the thing. It takes one person who displays that love, who shares and shows that love. And other people begin to go, you know what? We're going to do this together. And we've been, you know, we talked about community and ultimately our whole purpose on this earth is to proclaim Jesus, to worship him and to give him glory, but to show others who he is. That's why we're here. If you have a relationship with Jesus this morning, if you are in Jesus, if you say, not only am I not a fan of Jesus, but I am a follower, like I am making choices to follow Jesus. If you are doing that in your life, your sole purpose for being here for the rest of your life, however much time God gives you on this earth, is to show others who Jesus is and to share the gospel, to make others disciples who know Jesus. And there's a reason that love is the first fruit that Paul identifies, because that is the foundation. That's all the rest of what we talk about for the next 8 weeks. They manifest out. They come out of a spirit of love. Like if we do not love one another, if we do not allow the Spirit to work in us to love others unconditionally, we will never be able to experience the other 8 fruit of the Spirit. Because it's on the foundation of love. Because Jesus lived his life sharing and showing love to not just those who were easy, but to those who were difficult, to those who wanted him dead. But his response was love. Hanging on the cross, his response was love. Rising from the dead, his response, his action was love. That love, the love of God, has in fact been poured into each and every one of us who say, I am following Jesus. And so let's go into the world and allow others to in fact know that we are following Jesus, not because of how we dress or the statements that we make outwardly, but that we just love in such a way that they know it. And as we do that, we will begin to see other things that God is doing in and through us, that we can continue to encourage others. So let's do that. This week, let's look a little more like love. But not for the sake of looking like love, but for the sake of looking like Jesus. Because we need it, and everyone outside of here needs it. And so let's do that. Let's look a little more like Jesus. Let's look a little more like Jesus right now, tomorrow, and for the rest of our lives in the way that we love everyone. Father God, I thank you just for your love. I thank you for the way that you've displayed this to us, that you've pointed this out in our lives, and the way that you're calling us to do it. Father, allow us, I pray, Father, that we would experience the love that you have, that it would be something that's so overwhelming, that's so consuming, Father, that we would just not be able to contain it. That is the love that you have for us, that's an uncontainable love, that we would just boil over with love, and it would just flow out into the lives of everyone that we interact with. Father, thank you for pouring it into us. Father, thank you for pouring a love into us that is in incredible abundance, that it not just is poured into us, but it pours out of us. Father, do not let us get in the way of your Spirit working and moving and acting in our lives. Father, when we are at war with ourselves, I pray that your Spirit would win, that we would step aside, we would let the Spirit move and act in our lives, that we would show incredible love to others, and that they would come to you and to your Son and find even more love. Father, a true unconditional love that overcomes sin, that overcomes death, that overcomes pain. Father, let us love as you have loved us. Thank you for all that you do. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
and worship. We're going to start.